Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 9 says this. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, to heal those who were ill. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets from long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such good things about? And he tried to see him. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for this morning so far, that we've gathered together here in Holland Road as God's people. And Father, we want to thank you for those that are watching online. Father, I pray that as we sit and receive today, wherever we are, we would know that you're a God that's willing to draw near to us, a God that's willing to heal and to help and restore, a God that's not far or removed. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our hands to your word this morning, that you would bless us as we hear the very special words of this wonderful passage. Lord, we need you. Father, I pray your anointing on our pastor David this morning as he brings the word. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Matt. Wonderful to see everyone, and welcome again to those connecting online. Some time ago, I felt hugely inadequate for something that I felt God was calling me to do. I don't know if you ever feel like that. You know, I just wasn't sure I had enough in me for the task that I felt God wanted me to do. I felt like I lacked some key things that, were really quite important. It felt easier, and in my eyes, probably wiser, and certainly safer to just assume that someone else would do it, that God would get someone else who would be better at it than me. You know, and one day at that time, and I remember it very clearly, I went to get my hair cut at the hairdresser's just across the road. I went down, had my hair cut, and I went to pay and discovered I was 20p short. And I used to go there regularly, so they said, oh, don't worry, just bring it back. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll find it and bring 20p back sort of very soon. So I came back, looked around my office, looked at home. I couldn't find a 20p anywhere. I mean, I searched, I thought, you think, oh, it's bound to be there. I looked on the top of shelves or on the counter, nothing. And I thought, oh, I can't find a 20p anywhere. And then I thought, I need to get on with some other things. Look, forget the 20p. And I thought, I need to be praying about this thing that I feel God's asking me to do that I don't feel that really I'm able to do. So I went for a walk up in St. Anne's Wells, walking along praying. And I looked down, and there, what was it? A 20p. And I'm like, I bent down to pick it up. And as I picked it up, I felt the Lord saying to me, David, I can make up where you lack. David, I can make up where you lack. We serve a God who, when we don't feel we're able, he can make up when we lack. So I took my 20p, was thankful, went and gave it back to the hairdresser, told Laura the story, and then got on with the rest of the day and thought nothing much more of it until I went later that day to buy something, and I had a £10 note, paid in cash, and the guy, the cashier, said, look, I'm so sorry, we don't really have much in the way of change. Can I give you the change in 20p's? £1, £2, £3, £4, £5, £6, there we go. I have never held so many 20p's in my hand, having spent some of the day thinking, where can I find a 20p? There I am with a handful of 20p's. And it felt like God was saying to me, David, I can make up where you lack in abundance. Amen? That is the God we serve. You know, I wonder if you felt like that even recently. You know, that was a story from some 15 years ago when I felt called to do this role that God's got me doing, and yet I often feel inadequate, weak. You know, I feel often I have days when I feel weary, empty, aware of the struggles and need in my own life, and yet feeling like God's calling me to help those around. And perhaps even today, as we think about all that we've been hearing, even in the service, you're here and you think, David, I'm so aware of my need. Well, this morning I want to encourage you. This morning I want to build faith in our lives that we serve this God who can make up where we lack with abundance. You know, we're coming to the end of our series called Restored, Discovering the Heart of Jesus. And what have we discovered about the heart of Jesus? Well, it's been wonderful, hasn't it? We've discovered this heart that's so full of compassion, so good and loving, so able to help. Do you remember Jesus restoring the man who had leprosy with just a touch? Do you remember him restoring the paralyzed man and forgiving his sin? Do you remember him restoring the widow's son who was dead? Do you remember the way he restored that demon-possessed man? And, you know, he then was kind of completely there in his right mind. Well, how about just a few weeks ago when Jesus restored the woman and then went on to restore the little child who died, 12 years old. And brought her back to life. Jesus can restore. He even restores those who we read about in this story. At the very beginning of our series, we looked at how he restored the Apostle Peter. He restores us so that we can restore others. He gives us so that we can give to others. He shows us his heart so that we can share his heart with others. So this morning, the first and main thing I want to talk about is receiving. Receiving from Jesus to us. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 9. It says this, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I love that it starts with who? Jesus. It's all about him. It's what we've been singing about. It's so important. We've seen this time and again in this series. He is at the center of the story. When we put him first, then it all flows in the right way. And did you notice that it's Jesus who calls the 12 to him? It's not just a Jesus and me thing. It's not even just a Jesus and them thing. It's a Jesus and us thing. Look at the togetherness that we see here. He called the 12 together. They gathered together to receive from the Lord. You know, he was sent out with power. But where did the power come from? Where did the power come from? Jesus. It's his power that he gave them. And you know, so often I can think, we read all these stories and it would be so easy to kind of rule out almost every single person that Jesus ministered to over these this past weeks in the stories that we've seen. You know, this one, they shouldn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Don't rule yourself out. And don't rule others out. I mean, think about the 12. It says Jesus called the 12 together. We know a bit about the 12, don't we? You know, we know that they were, a bunch of them were fishermen. In fact, two of the fishermen were brothers. You know what? They were called Sons of Thunder. Guess how they got their name? You know, and then there was Matthew, the tax collector. You know, Matt was he wasn't a guy that really most people trusted, particularly not one of the other disciples who was a zealot. Can you imagine the times when they're sharing a meal together? And then there was Tom, the doubter, The one who always questioned and always wasn't sure. This is the kind of people that Jesus had put together. But we haven't even yet mentioned Judas. Judas was one of these 12. Now I find that really complex. Like hard to get my head around. But I've actually been reflecting on it quite a bit this week. With the news that has been so much in the headlines of the Liverpool bomber who thankfully wasn't successful in whatever he was trying to do and he blew himself up, but thankfully not anyone else. But the papers have made a lot that he was someone who had professed faith in Christ. You know, was he genuine? Probably not. We don't know. Was it a mental illness thing that he was struggling with? Was he like Judas? I mean, Judas went on to betray Christ, to lead to the death of Christ, and then killed himself. You know, we need much wisdom here. I've been thinking a lot about just these areas where we do need courage. Let's not be driven by fear. We need courage to keep reaching out to people and believing that God is at work in their lives. But we need to be wise too. We mustn't be naive. And we take in this church real care to help see those that are baptized, who God is working, to make sure that there is genuine faith in their heart. You know, I read this week something that I found so helpful. It was just some things that a church leader said. This is what is true in their church, but this is true in our church too. They just said the church isn't responsible for assessing asylum claims or security implications. That is the job of the Home Office. Really helpful to remember. But they also said this, the church takes seriously its call to go and make disciples and baptize them. And it doesn't just give that out because it is asked for, but it's looking for where there's genuine signs of repentance and faith. That is what we are always looking for in anyone who's baptized. Is there repentance and faith? Then goes on and said the church should be at the forefront of supporting some of the world's most vulnerable. I hope if you've been around this church a while, you realize that is our heart. We want to support some of the world's most vulnerable. So it's no wonder then that some of the people who are drawn into our midst are from very complex and difficult situations. You know, the story of Jesus picking the 12, of Judas being part of those 12, remind me that though Jesus knows all that's going on in people's hearts, I might never know fully. I may be aware, I may be able to look and see signs, but what I can do is look in my own life. Brothers and sisters, today as we have these baptisms, look in your own heart. If you've been baptized, is there genuine persevering faith? If you haven't, I want to beckon you. Come believe in Jesus, repent and believe and be baptized, for there is no one like this Jesus. And our faith starts with him. It's again, it's him who calls, him who gives, as we read in verse 1, the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. It's him who sends them out to preach the good news. You know, this is again, this wonderful thing that his purpose, Jesus' purpose, is to be our purpose. His heart is to be our heart. His power is to be our power. His authority, amazingly, our authority in his name. His message, our message. His ministry, our ministry. You know, brothers and sisters, we are restored by Jesus. And that's the testimony of almost all of us here. In some way or other, our lives have been touched by Jesus so that we can then join him in his restoring work, pushing back the enemy and his demons and his work of darkness and destruction in our city and beyond, pushing that back and joining Jesus in his restoring work. And look how that's done, verse 2. It's done as he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's to do with them saying something and doing something. It is both word and deed that come together. Now we've got to just pause for a moment again. Because as we look at this passage, you, like me, may find yourself wrestling with, well, David, how much is this specific to the 12? How much is this about their role as apostles, that they had these kind of ministry and calling and power that was given to them? And how much of that is kind of general for us? Well, it's a really good question. And there are definitely times in history when miracles and healings and things that are sometimes referred to as signs and wonders happened specifically at that time because they are needed to really point to the fact that God is at work here. And there are times in history when you can see in different places and times more kind of supernatural activity than others. And even for these people who were healed, as we see later on through the ministry of the apostles, what we can't deny is that later on, they themselves went and died in the future. But it would be a serious error for us to limit this power and purpose to the 12 apostles. You only have to turn over one more page in your Bible. And you read in the very next chapter, Luke chapter 10, that Jesus does and says almost exactly the same thing to 72, a broader group of disciples. This is not just for the apostles. And if you go on from Luke into Acts, also written by Luke, you see that this amazing work of God in word and deed, of the message of the kingdom being proclaimed and of people being healed and restored, continues on in Acts with no sign that it should stop. And so I want to say, brothers and sisters, I think our danger is far more in ruling ourselves out and saying, oh, God will have a specific calling for them or power that he wants to give to them, and not realize that question that we were just wrestling with right at the front. I loved it, Tim, when you just turned to Roselle. Roselle, do you know Jesus is for you? And she went, yeah. Brothers and sisters, do you know Jesus is for you? Yes. That's great, because he is. He wants to give you and I his power, his heart, his message. So let's come together and receive from him. Let's come and remember that he can make up where we lack in abundance. And so lastly and just briefly, we want to be sent by Jesus to share what we have received, sharing from us to others. Look at verse 2 again with me and how it's mirrored in verse 6. In verse 2 it says, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then we're going to read on down to verse 6. It says this, he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet, and when you leave their town, as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. I mean, it's wonderful. Jesus says, go, and they, what do? They go, because Jesus says it, and he gives them power. And what do they have? Power, because Jesus said it. And it's amazing that he then does something quite curious. He then says, but take nothing else. Do you notice that? Nothing else. I mean, that's not our kind of typical thing, is it? We think, have we got everything we need? We're going on mission. Well, have we got it? You know. But he says, look, take not. It's emphatic. Don't take that. Don't take that. Don't take that. Don't even take that. In fact, later on at the very end of Luke, we know he actually says something different. There are times and seasons where we can take things, but actually here, and even in Luke 10, the next bit with the 72, he says the same thing. Don't take anything. So why? Why is Jesus giving them this instruction? Well, what is the main thing that they're taking with them? It's Jesus. It's his power. It's his presence. It's his message. The thing that they are to understand, and the 72 later, the thing that we can often miss, is the most important, powerful thing that we have is Jesus himself, his power and his message, him working through his people with his power. And brothers and sisters, as we come into this Christmas time, we have a wonderful opportunity to remember that afresh. that we are sent to simply share what we have received. To come and in times like this receive afresh. Receive from Christ. Receive the good news. Receive his power in our lives. And then to go out and share it with others. In all kinds of ways. In word. You know, invite people to the panto. You know, I thought, you know, rather than a 20p, which might not help you so much, these flyers, and I had one in my pocket when I was sitting down. Has anyone got a flyer on their seat? There we go. That one. That one there. This one will help people. Thanks, Tim. I started giving these out, and it's amazing. I had even someone who I kind of gave it out to them, and they said it's a Christmas something, and a couple of women walking past, Sheridan and I were on the street just over there just doing it, and they said, oh, no, thanks. And then the lady stopped. She said, actually, all right then. And she came back and took it. Her friend was a bit like, really? Are you doing that? And I find Jesus' words so helpful here. Because they help me see that some people like that woman are going to receive it. They're going to welcome it. And there are going to be others who reject it. In fact, as you read on, and we don't have time to get into this wonderful bit that is about Herod and his craziness. But, you know, he didn't just reject, he persecuted those who pointed to Jesus like John the Baptist. And when people get baptized here, We ask them a question at the end. It says, you know, will you hold on to Jesus? Whatever the future holds, whatever difficulties, challenges, or even persecution. And you know what? Time and again, people here stand at the front and they say, yes. Whatever it costs, yes. Because Jesus is worth it. Because he can make up where we lack. Because he has power even over death. And because he is the good news that everyone you know needs to hear. And this is a time like no other, whether through our words, our invitation, sharing the light, through our deeds, like getting involved in the Camp Hamper thing. Read about that in the weekly news and see what you can do again to help bring that practical care that comes with a prayer, often for those most needed. And even in our lives as we kind of go around. I found this week as I've been preparing, I've had time and again opportunity to pray for someone who's not been well, Christians and non-Christians. My neighbor, I came back just after preparing and he was like, oh, I'm not feeling great at all. I don't know if I'm going to have to catch it. I say, can I just pray for you? Pray. You know, John Wimber said in his church, when they prayed for no one to be healed, no one got healed. Surprising, isn't that? But when he started praying for people to get healed, some got healed. And when they prayed for more, even more got healed. Not necessarily everyone. God's ways are sometimes not all that we want. It's not a genie thing where he just does what he says. But brothers and sisters, there is power in Jesus' name. There is power to restore you and I. And there is power for then us to go out and be restorers. And so today I would love to invite you, come and receive from Jesus. And receive his heart. I wonder if just as the band come forward, you could just stand with me if you're able. And I just want to do some simple things to help us pray together. So if you feel able, please stand. And I want to invite you to join me some prayer exercises I often do in the morning. I find these really help me. They are kind of moving around a little bit, so I hope you're okay with this. But it kind of gets us ready to kind of go and worship. So the first thing I want us to do is we're going to just pray. And you can close your eyes as you do this if you want. And we're just going to raise our hands in surrender to God, because it's all about Jesus. And we're just going to pray. Jesus, your will be done. Jesus, your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit, we look up to you. Come, we pray. You might just in your heart want to say, yes, Jesus. Yes to whatever he says. And then just put your hands out in front of you as if you're receiving. And just simply say, Jesus, we want to receive from you now.
want to receive your Spirit afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my life, fill our lives. Come, Spirit of peace, make us channels of your peace. Lord, we ask for your shalom, your healing, your wholeness. If anyone here needs healing, I just encourage you, just ask God, bring his healing. Jesus, I want to pray for your healing on my brothers and sisters right now. Jesus, we receive from you. We receive your good news. And with our open hands, we want to share what we receive. Or we want to share your good news, your power, your peace. Help us share. And then I wonder if you could just put your hands out like a cross. Because so often sharing is stretching. It's like Jesus who, you know, he had nothing. He was born in a stable, in a manger. Poor refugee. He hung on the cross, stripped, naked. He had nothing and gave up everything so that you and I could have all we need in him. So Jesus, thank you for the cross. Help my life to be cross-shaped. Help me to be willing to stretch out to the right or the left, to the neighbors, friends, family that are around me, even when it costs. Help me, Jesus, trust in you. And so we respond in worship as we prepare to be sent out as his messengers in his powerful name. I'm going to hand over to Becky.